Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama. Together you got smooth drama.
All right. Welcome to Smooth Drama with your host, Dick Hugger. Having some technical difficulties right now, so you won't be able to see me on Smooth Drama TV, but we're hoping to rectify that here in a second. All right. I'm watching the game right now, and I am quite upset, as y'all know. If you've listened to me before, you know I am not a Laker fan. So to see that they're winning this game and it's easy, it's no good at all. Oh. Anyway. In between then, I want everybody to know that I want to hear from you, as always. So if you can, break me off a call, 646-929-2037. So, as always, I want to hear from you. So, hit me with that call, 646-929-2037. Also, while I'm on that note, want to hear from you, your emails, whatnot, because I think your emails are important. You know, I love to hear from you, and I will read your emails. You can hit me at dick@smoothdrama.com. Once again, you can hit me at dick@smoothdrama.com, and I will read your emails. And, of course, to keep up with us and what we're doing here at Smooth Drama, you from your mobile devices, we know y'all all got mobile devices. You can hit me up, text in the word Smooth Drama to the number 41411. Once again, text the word Smooth Drama to the number 41411. Now, I'll let you. Now, let's get started. I got my main man. Carly, you're on the air.
Hey.
What's going on? I got my main man, my political homie, Wally Whippet.
Can you hear
me? I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, sounds good.
All right. Well, I don't know about you, but everything is all bad right now.
Yeah. I think the worst part about it being all bad is there's people out there that think it's all good.
Hey. One good thing did happen.
What's that?
And it's a departure from the Bush administration. This administration caught the number three man in the Taliban.
Well, this is true.
Yeah, they didn't get number two. They got number three. So we like taking a step forward. You know, we not just stopping at two. We going to go two through ten. We going to get all of them.
Well, I think number two and number one, they're probably living in Texas, in Houston.
Okay.
As you know, as the company of Mr. Bush.
Yeah.
We can't forget.
I can believe that.
So, I mean, you know. Hey, did you hear this crap that went down in South Carolina?
Well, what happened in South Carolina?
One of my favorite type of people, these, you know, what do you call them? Less than humans, shot a man and then dragged him for 7 miles through town.
So what? We're
alive and well in South Carolina. Fortunately, they caught the person.
But well,
can you believe
well,
that? I mean, I thought it was done. I mean, no, that's a lie. I don't think it's done. I just think it's.
Well, you got to remember, South Carolina, don't they have the Clam Museum there?
Yeah, I think they
probably. that's not really a shock for me that, something bad happened in South Carolina, something racist. No, heaven forbid that.
It just, makes you kind of crazy.
Yeah, I mean, and that kind of stuff is not really important. People don't look at that stuff. As we caught up in the SB 1070 right now. We can't seem to be, get it out of our minds, and the way people are dividing themselves up.
Yeah. Yeah, and that makes me wonder. Is that the idea? Is it the idea to take our mind off everything else that's going on? It's even the Sheriff's Association, the Police Association in Arizona said it's the wrong thing to be doing. I don't know. I just don't think. I think that movie, A Day Without a Mexican. I think it would be a something like that could happen. I think people would open their eyes and say, wait a minute, illegal, certainly, undocumented, let's make it a little more easier for them to be documented and do the job that they're doing that people, the employers really need. I mean, there's every excuse I hear from people is a bunch of crap, and then you hear all this stuff about, they're all a bunch of terrorists. The terrorists? We just got one to step down after 8 years, now he was a terrorist.
Tell us how you really feel.
Well, think about it. I mean, almost every time there's been some type of terrorist thing happening on our soil, these people either here legally or they're American citizens. Everyone's forgetting about Timothy McVeigh. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
All the way through, and look what he did. All the Americans he killed.
Yeah, he was definitely an American citizen. I think he had his papers and everything.
Well, I think he was the original teabagger.
Oh, wow. You cutting deep tonight. You are cutting deep tonight.
I am sober. I am clear-headed. I am...
You're sober and clear-headed all at the same time?
What's that?
Sober and clear-headed all at the same time?
Yeah.
I might be too much for him. I might be too much for him. Now, I was going to ask you, a lot of people think that when people are against this law, that, we're not for law and order. Now, I, of course, am for law and order. I think that it's important that, everybody who's supposed to be legal are legal.
Right.
And if you're illegal, if you haven't gone through the steps, whatnot, you should have to be made to go through the steps or you can't be here. I'm all for that.
Sure.
But
there's different rules for different people.
Right.
Cuba, as long as your feet land on the soil, you have protection, I mean, what about some of these people coming up from Mexico that maybe they have been involved in some of these crazy, drug rings, and maybe they are political prisoners?
Well, I don't think there's a maybe. As far as political prisoners go, last time I checked, there was a lawyer, and I talked about this a couple weeks ago, who was jailed for 14 months but not charged with a crime. He was held in contempt of court, because he talked about how they didn't, the L.A. court system paid an extra $57,000, which he calls a bribe, and that's on top of the $178,000 that they already make. Which is the most in the country, by the way. In pointing it out, excuse me, is the fact that an American citizen held in contempt of court, not charged with anything for over a year. Nobody really talking about that. I thought that was unconstitutional.
Well, people, I think we talked before about this. I think people, it's the same thing with this Arizona law. People are saying and thinking, well, it's not ever going to apply to me. You know, I'm
right.
Blonde-haired, blue-eyed, and, you know, come on, three-generation American. But the bottom line is anytime that a police officer wants to use that, you know, where's your documentation? I don't know if this driver's license is real. I don't know if this is real. I mean, yeah, it's a stretch, but there's been a lot worse things that have happened that have been a bigger stretch. You never would have believed it was going to happen, and it did. So, I mean, you know, they don't talk about the illegals coming from other countries. They just talk about them coming from Mexico.
Right. Well, I mean, in the illegal, yeah, that's an issue, but people aren't looking at this law and the rights that are being taken away in the full context. Like you just made the comparison where people, the police can stop you.
Right.
And, you know, stop you and ask you for your papers. They just passed the law, the Ohio Supreme Court, that says that the police can stop you for speeding without a radar. They can just guesstimate, whichever one you want to call it. They can estimate, hey, he's speeding or she's speeding, and they can stop you and give you a ticket.
They're saying you're going to be speeding. I know you are, so I'm stopping you before you do
that. Right. I don't know if people understand the issue behind that. I mean, because we're talking about those are your rights, and they're giving the police the rights to do basically anything. I mean, it passed the other day from the Supreme Court where the police, your right to remain silent, another one of those Miranda rights, inalienable rights that we're supposed to have under the Constitution.
Right.
It's, if you don't invoke it, if you don't say it, which is actually a contradiction, because obviously if you don't say it, it means you're invoking your right to remain silent.
Exactly.
That's technically being silent is invoking your right to remain silent. But the Supreme Court just ruled that, no, doesn't matter.
Now, what was the vote on that?
Oh, it passed 5-4, of course, with Sotomayor saying that, you know, this is gross. And it's making the police have too many powers, and police abuse can ride rampant.
Right.
No biggie to people. See, everybody's still stuck on that, yeah, we gotta keep these Mexicans out. But, you know, when Sotomayor was put in office, ratified as a Supreme Court judge, the same day they passed the law that the police don't necessarily have to give you your lawyer when you invoke the right to speak with your lawyer. So now all of a sudden we're talking about basically the police can grab you just because. They can hold you just because. They don't have to get you a lawyer. Your right to remain silent does nothing for you. And the court can hold you in contempt indefinitely without charging you with anything. Now, I don't know about anybody else, but that shit seems like a problem.
Yeah.
And that's the law now. It's the law.
Well, it's, you know, it's scary, and this is being put together by the conservatives, not by the liberals or progressives, and you know, they keep talking about smaller government, but every time they talk about smaller government, they do something to make it, you know, more intrusive on all of our lives, you know.
Right.
All the way to whatever, you know, they want to control what everybody does, but yet they want smaller government. I mean, that, I don't get that. It doesn't make any sense. It's just, but you know, most of the people I listen to that, maybe I don't really listen to, but it's like they're all just a carbon copy of Sean Hannity, and they just repeat themselves over and over again. You know? And it's pretty, it's kind of scary because they are the Stepford wives and brothers, and they believe it, you know?
Yeah, that they do. They definitely believe it, and it's ugly out here. You know, the fact that people don't understand their rights going away and don't think that it's really important. Now, obviously, what's going on down in the South with the ecological disaster, they finally cut the pipe.
Oh, did they?
Yay. Yeah, yay.
Good. So have they been able to put gas? I haven't been, I didn't watch the news tonight. I was preparing to talk to you. I had to get myself all psyched up.
You got to get yourself psyched up. It's all right. All right. Now the thing was, now that they cut the pipe, now they're supposed to box it in,
right,
to stop the majority of the oil leak.
Right.
But that's still, they're still talking about, well, maybe we can stop it in August and be totally cleaned up by December.
Well, you say here, I'm looking at CNN, it says BP positions cap over gushing oil well, so I guess it's just in the process. I guess that's what you're just saying, eh? Just
right.
Good.
Yeah, but
yeah, what's interesting is that, you know, 4 months ago, you'd have all these people yelling and screaming about tree huggers and environmentalists, and people are concerned about the environment, you know, how, you know, crazy they are, and, well, they use other words too, but now suddenly these same people are saying, you know, talking about how this is destroying, you know, the South, and it is, and they're blaming it all on Trump. But if he had said, you know what, I don't want any more drilling until you guys can prove if there's a disaster like this, you can fix it immediately, you know, I mean, it's like, granted, there has to be a balance somewhere, because there's a lot of jobs involved, and people need their jobs, you know. You take all the jobs away, and it's going to hurt the South just as much as, you know, well, maybe not as much, but we're at just as much as this catastrophe, you know. But,
well, the South is a lot of fishing and gaming. And, you know, like a place like Mississippi, where the Gulf of Mexico is the beach, Biloxi is beachfront, and, you know, it's a vacation holiday spot, if you can call going to Biloxi, Mississippi, holiday vacation.
For some people.
Yeah, but for some people, I remember as a child, we did a couple vacations there.
Hey, you know.
And so when you look at it from that aspect, you're like, okay, it that's gone. All the potential monies and revenue, that's all gone.
Yeah. That's going to be gone for a long time.
Yes.
Congratulations.
For a very long time.
They keep getting hit with all this, you know, and Mississippi. They get wiped out constantly. I mean, it's a shame.
Well, I mean, it's supposedly reaching Florida here, and as they said, it was, what, three weeks ago, it was the size of Delaware. So you can imagine the size of the oil slick now.
Oh, yeah. And they're saying a lot of it's underground. underwater that you can't even see.
Right. Well, I mean, we know what they're reporting, and what really is probably three times worse.
Yeah. I have a friend who works for FEMA, and he was down there because he does security, and he was saying a lot of the people that were, I guess he was working some strike at a mine, a coal mine or some kind of mine down that way. Anyway, he said a lot of people that were working the cleanup were getting sick. He told us this last week or week before last, and now they're starting to talk about it, you know.
Well, yeah, there's a drug that, well, not a drug, but one of the spiller dispersal agents,
right.
I believe it's called Corexit.
Right.
And the Corexit, which is toxic to humans, upon touch, all the directions are stop and wash and go see a doctor. If inhale, stop, go see a doctor. If you know, ingest it by some ungodly means, go to the doctor. Everything involved with this says go to the doctor immediately. And this is what they're using to disperse the oil. So one of the chemicals is to disperse the oil. Now you'll, huh?
That's not as, that is basically biodegradable. That was not toxic. They just weren't using it.
Well, they say that we can use hair, animal hair. There's a couple of organizations that are donating hair and animal hair, and they're encouraging people to, when they cut their hair, to box it up and send it to them.
Also using like alpaca wool. A friend of mine has an alpaca farm ranch, I guess you'd call it, and all the that's not the grade A stuff that they sell. They're sending all that down to the Gulf too. So that's the same type of product that they can use. They wrap it in like nylons, you know, like women's hose type thing, and wrap it tight up, and they use that to suck up all the oil. This project's gonna be going for a long, long time. That cleanup, it's not gonna be over with. Real soon.
No, it's definitely going to be a while. It is definitely going to be a while. Anybody who's thinking that, hey, they'll clean it up in a couple of weeks now that they've supposedly bottled it up, I think coming.
You know, I still get it what people are saying that Obama was supposed to do. I mean, yeah, the Coast Guard was there right away. You know, I mean, yeah, nobody wants this to happen, but exactly, I mean, the Coast Guard doesn't know how to fix this problem. The Navy definitely isn't trained. They don't, you know, make oil wells. You know, this is really, how much can the government do outside of keep putting pressure on the private companies that created it, that are supposed to know how to fix it?
Right. Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. This company, BP, in reports, they say that they had actually been served with numerous violations. I believe it was like 73,
yep.
Where their closest competitor only had like 8 violations. They had 73.
Amazing.
Yeah.
You're telling me today, too, a lot of this problem is per our friend Dick Cheney because of his influence from Halliburton, that once Clinton had passed the bill saying that whenever they're doing this deep sea drilling, there had to be some type of system that they had to have on the when they're drilling that will stop it, like if this were to happen, but it's really expensive. And right when Bush got elected, within weeks of his election, all these bills that were passed by Clinton for the environment, they reneged on all of them. They just said, sorry. And they would have had, you know, a safety option had that not happened. But because of the friends in the oil business, they didn't want to spend that extra money on every rig, you know. So what? $500,000 per rig? They make that much in a day.
Right.
So
yeah, but that would have been being environmentally responsible. I don't think that's high on the list or even on the agenda in the first place.
Well, that's true, and we're not supposed to blame the old president.
No, you can't blame him. You have to blame the current one. It's his fault because he built that well, and he's the one that designed that machinery, and he caused that explosion because he, of course, is a Kenyan terrorist, and he's the one that was down there. It was his robotic design. Engineering-wise, that has failed and hasn't worked this whole time. And he's the one who is allowing the oil to gush.
That's right.
I figured all that out just now.
Muhammad said, let it gush.
Yes, exactly. Working together. You know, I read where you know, people call him the Muslim president. Like, if he was, would it matter?
No.
But according to the others, you know, oh, well, he's the Muslim president. Now, I wonder, you know, I'm in racial rehab. I wonder, would they be calling him a Muslim president if he was of Caucasian descent? And I'm going to guess not. Mysteriously.
Muslims too out there in the world.
Yeah, I know. But somehow, even though the Bush family, who are extremely tight with the Muslim bin Laden family,
yes.
So tight that the majority of their deals they do with them, and the bin Laden family are Muslim,
right.
Nobody ever accused George Bush of being
George Bush Sr. there in New York City on 9/11 having breakfast with one of the old bin Laden family?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, if I'm not mistaken, they actually they stopped every flight and flew them out of the country after 9/11 happened.
Now, if it had been anybody else, they would have said, oh no, we're keeping your entire family here because you're all suspect and no, you don't get a lawyer.
Well, no, imagine if that would have been Obama hanging out with the bin Laden. Yeah, you know, they already called him Obama bin Laden, so you can imagine what would be said. And nobody even made a fuss about that at all. It just never came up. No biggie. Hey. They're Muslims, they're billionaires, and they're Catholics, and they're billionaires. No biggie. It's all good.
One day it'll all... It's like I can't say for certain what was the implications of 9/11, what really happened, but I can't say what didn't happen. You know, I mean, I can't say that, you know... Some people think there was an inside job. I know a lot of that speculation. Some people say it's totally nuts. I'm not saying it's not nuts, but I'm also saying it's not totally impossible. You know?
Well, I'm on record thinking that it's an inside job. It's my personal belief. And there's a few movies that speak on it. I believe wholeheartedly that it was an inside job. But that's just me.
Yeah. Well, I don't think that George W. had any, really, I mean, I think he knew about it, if that were the case, but I don't think he'd have anything to do with the design of it. I don't think he has the ability to even, you know, but they have people that do. I mean, you know, George Sr., the CIA, I mean, come on. It's so easily.
Right.
And Bush,
I mean, in that
security, the head of the security at that building, at the Trade Towers. I mean, that in itself makes you curious, doesn't it?
Yeah, it made me curious. I was always curious about it. Insecurity, the bombing the planes, hitting the towers, the mysterious plane that left no wreckage that hit the Pentagon. I mean, all of it, you know, even down to the, and I don't want to denigrate the dead, but the heroic people on that plane, as they say, that hit the Pentagon, the guy who calls and he has to tell his mother who he is and he says his whole name. I've never called my mother and said my whole name. I know the first thing she would say, like, yeah, I know who the hell you are. You know what I mean? But we're not going to go there. As a matter of fact, what we're going to do, you want to hold on for a little bit, we're going to go do a station identification break, and we'll be right back.
All right, I'll be here.
Together you guys.
All right, quick station identification break. Welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Dick Hugger, and I got my main man, my political homie, Wally Whippet, whipping it out.
Whip it good.
Oh.
I'm dating.
I said whipping it out.
You're not hating yourself because, you know, you're always there. You never have to worry about it. Although sometimes I do tell myself no.
Yeah, now, you know, on to something else that was important to me, you know, in these hard times right now, people, I don't think, are paying attention to some other issues. I mean, obviously, the hard times, as far as economics goes, we all know about. We're supposedly doing budget cuts to save our schools, and I mean we're constantly cutting teachers. And now, I'm reading right here in San Diego. For those of you who are listening, don't know that we're based here in San Diego. Right here in San Diego. The Vista Planning Commission had a meeting Tuesday night where they're reviewing a proposed amendment to sign ordinance because they want to stop sign twirlers in vehicle mounted signs.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Yeah, they said that under this new ordinance, mobile billboards, which will be defined as a vehicle whose primary purpose is to advertise a business, would be banned in addition to the sign spinners.
Huh. So it'd be like the trucks that have the billboard and they drive all over town.
Right.
What happened?
Now what they said is, according to the commission, it will still be legal for a delivery truck to drive through Vista with advertising painted on the side. However, vehicles like the Red Bull cars would no longer be permitted.
You know, there are people that have bought cars and they actually get a percentage of the car paid for by a company because they have it wrapped.
Exactly.
So those people... Now, if some guy has the name of his business on the back of his truck, he can't drive through Vista?
I guess not. Or face a fine.
Now, money site, what they should do is say, okay, yes, you can be here, but we're going to raise your permits, you know, and then they make more money out of
it. Well, I mean, I know this is money-based, and it's just, you just wonder, What's wrong with sign twirling? I mean, I don't get how that or any creative way to advertise your business. I wonder if this is, and it would be me being the conspiracy theorist that I am, big advertising companies wanting to shut down the little innovative man who are doing these things and making, you know, saving advertising money, twirling signs, whatnot, as opposed to paying the big bucks to the establishment.
Well, definitely political. Come on, everything that happens is political. Someone's pulling someone's chain to make someone else pull somebody else's chain. You know?
Yeah, I mean, but it still makes no sense to me. I mean, especially when we talk about high unemployment, and as you said, the people who get a percentage of their car paid for by this rap.
Right.
I mean, you don't help any. Who gets help in this? You're taking jobs away from people. Now you talk about the illegals taking jobs, but here you are passing the ordinance that will take jobs from legal citizens. Well, it's kind of funny you mention that because actually my son, when he was in high school, he was a sign twirler for 2 years.
Oh, I know. Matter of fact, there is a gentleman that we both know whose brother-in-law has one of those companies up in Orange County, and they pay pretty well. I mean, you know.
Right.
Charge.
Yeah, he was making $10 an hour to twirl his sign.
Yeah.
And I have his papers for anyone listening. He's legal. He wasn't born in Kenya or Nairobi or anywhere else you want to say that he was born. He was born right here in San Diego.
Does he have
I have the paper.
I have a friend of mine who works for the city of Vista. I just sent this person an email to see what they have to say about this, but I don't know if you'll get through or not. But it's interesting. Now, one thing I can figure is maybe they're saying that they're a distraction. So when people are driving by, they're looking at this sign twirling and they're not paying attention to driving. You know? I mean,
okay. That's the dumbest shit I've ever heard.
Well, come on.
You have cars next to you all the time. That's a distraction. If somebody twirling the sign can get you that route, then you don't need a driver's license. You need to get a bus pass or a trolley pass and do that. I'm sorry, a sign twirler, no.
Yeah.
No. And so that excuse, and that was one of the excuses that they're saying that it was a distraction. And they said that the degradation to the aesthetics of the community.
Okay, this has got to be a Shadow Ridge deal.
Well, you know, when they say degradation to the aesthetics of the community, they're meaning that they don't want poor people.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Twirling signs.
Vista has a very distinct part that is not, you know, from. And I grew up in, you know, that part of the woods, so to speak, and, you know, Vista was always a laborer's community for the most part, and most of it still is until you get over to Shadow Ridge, and then you have all the uppity, you know, yeah, churchgoers. That's one thing I have to say about, you know, you drive through Vista, there's a part of Vista you drive through, and you see all these homes that are not, they're cheap, they're falling apart, some of them, and they're just not well-maintained. And you go a couple blocks, and there amongst all of them is this huge, massive church. And I'm thinking, you know, if they took some of this money that they used to build this huge, massive church and help some of these people in the neighborhood, maybe it would, you know, improve. It's just amazing to me how much money is thrown at religion. I get it. I know why people do it, I guess. But
well, I mean, in speaking of that,
you're
talking about throwing money wasted-wise. You know how we spend a lot of money on these surveys and studies that we do. Like Kellogg granted $75 million to battle racism's effect on kids. I don't get that. Why do you need to study the effects of racism on kids? No. Refurbished parks. $75 million can go a long way towards fixing up community centers and funding community centers so that kids can do stuff. $75 million for studies on the effects of racism? That's the dumbest shit that I've ever heard of.
Not that's a logical reason, but why do you think they do it? Think they need to
they're paying themselves.
Oh.
You spend $75 million, supposedly, and it's to cronies, and they go out and they study. I guess they go in the hood and study the hood, whatever, and come back, and you get to write that $75 million off because you donated it. Is a charitable donation, but that never happens. And that is like you're paying yourself twice.
Good point.
You know, because you get the money, you throw the money into your friend's hands who give the money right back to you, and you get the tax break where we, the taxpayer, who you were supposedly helping by doing the study in the first place, we're going to pay for that also through the tax money.
Helping people, it only helps people if something changes.
Well, I mean, to me, look, you find parks in different areas and you refurbish them.
No, I understand the park.
That's simple.
To need people to maintain them and to actually be there to make sure that, you know, hire a couple cops that actually that's what they do. You know, they don't have to be necessarily dressed in uniform, but people that are going to make them safe, because let's face it, there are some sick people out there that, you know.
We've had a whole bunch of just crazy things happening with people just out of the blue trying to snatch kids, and not like the old way where they would try to snatch the kids and be discreet about it. I mean, they're doing it in broad daylight in front of a lot of people.
I know.
Yeah, it's like they're almost doing it so they can get famous. It's weird.
Well, it's part of we have a strange culture. I mean, let's face it, we're pretty
bad. Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't own a weapon, never owned a weapon. I fired a .22 once, you know. So
well, make sure you don't tell people where you live.
Well,
when they find out you don't have a weapon, they might try and rob you.
Yeah, I was already threatened by that. What
I was going to say.
I enjoy watching Apocalypse Now. Why is it that I like watching Platoon? You know, I like watching these movies about all this death and stuff, but I'm totally opposed to it. Now, part of it, you know, I can't say it's a catharsis because I don't need that release, but I think sometimes I watch it just to remind myself why I'm so opposed to it. You know, I mean, you don't want to get completely to a point that, I don't know.
Well, you know, Mr. Whippet, I've been accused of being a little weird myself because I'm probably one of the few people who don't think Scarface is an all-time great movie. I just see it as a movie of a drug dealer who gets killed in the end, and okay.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I'm like, okay. I mean, me, myself, I'm happy when the drug dealer gets killed in the end of the movie. I've never, like, oh, I feel for him and his pain, and you know how they do these so-called gangster movies, drug dealer movies, and you're supposed to empathize with them. I don't empathize with people who basically ruin people's lives.
Right.
Destroy the whole arcs of families.
Right.
But we do movies and glorify them.
Well, you know, it's goes all the way back to the cowboy, you know, cowboy movies, you know. OK Corral. I mean, you know, these guys are the bad guys.
Right. The bad guys keep winning and we're happy.
Yeah. I mean, we created a generation of gangsters because we gave them so much credit, you know, in Hollywood and celluloid and TV, you know. They're you know.
It was kind of funny. I was having lunch with a friend of mine, and we just happened to start talking, and he mentioned that he saw a guy, like, in his 50s, in all red with the braids, the barrettes in his hair, and he's, like, 50 years old. And it's like, you still gangbanging at 50? I didn't understand gangbanging at 20, but at you figure you get into your 30s and 40s, you're like, well, you know what? Depending on what gang you in, you know, a little red in your shirt, or a little blue in your shirt, shouldn't be life or death.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, it's some common sense there that I'm missing.
That goes back to, I don't know for a fact, but the rumor that the CIA was, you know, filling up, you know, all kinds of drugs to all the poorest neighborhoods in the country, you know, to create eternal wars. I mean, you know, there was
right.
The crack and the coke and all that stuff, and what it turns into, you know. Crazy for people to be killing their own when there's a bad enough war going on, just trying to keep them alive, period.
Well, I mean, that's the thing when you talk about that, and that actual program was the COINTELPRO, where, you know, the government did actually fund that. It was going back to the whole gangster movie, a movie that everybody liked Denzel Washington was in, American Gangster.
Yeah.
They portray him in the movie as an enterprising young man who has a cousin that's in the military, and he goes over to Vietnam, and he can go into the jungles of Vietnam and speak to the Viet Cong. Just a guy from New York. Just a regular old drug dealer. It's no biggie. Now, I don't believe that. To me, that's COINTELPRO, and the government is complicit in that. But, of course, they would never show that because, obviously, that would be reality. Instead, they glorify the guy. They're like, oh, yeah, he's got big balls. He went and spoke to the Viet Cong. No, I don't think so. That's not how that shit goes.
9/11, hearing something about a bunch of top, you know, producers from Hollywood got together with the Bush White House, and I figure out how they were going to, you know, present this to the world or how they're going forward with it. I mean, I don't understand why, what the hell Hollywood has to do with it, but you know, it was kind of weird, you know.
Well, that's the thing. If it's on the movie, it's real. People think movies is gospel.
Did you ever see, speaking of movies, Dennis Hopper, local La Mesa boy, as a matter of fact, may he rest in peace. He did a movie called The Last Picture Show, Last Movie. And they're down in Mexico, and they're making this movie. And they aren't really making a movie, but they have all these people that live there making this movie, and they're making all these sets and everything out of wood and fake cameras, and he ends up getting killed at the end. It was kind of like a commentary on how we really believe the movies are real, you know? It's a great movie to watch. It really is. It kind of gives you the creeps, but I think, you know, I think movies are supposed to give you the creeps. I think you're supposed to watch stuff that makes you wake up a little bit, you know? It's great to have a funny movie now and then, but I think, you know, things that make you stop and think, they're good. You know, I mean, I get accused of all kinds of crap because on Facebook I might throw something out there And it's not so much that I believe what I just said, but it makes me stop and think. What happens if what I just said is true? What happens if it's, you know, it's something similar to that? And what's wrong with that? Just think about it for a second. Some people get so uptight. They're so afraid to even venture outside of that, the womb of Fox News. You know? And off subject, but still.
Well, but isn't that what we're talking about? We're talking about people, you know, they want to be packaged to. I mean, nobody really wants to know the truth. I mean, because obviously the truth is the truth. And people find the truth more funny than they find the truth horrifying or appalling. I mean, it's why there are a lot of the great comedians, your George Carlin, Richard Pryor, Chris Rock, people like that, when they do social commentary, they just tell the truth, and it's just funny. People laugh at the truth.
Well, we did.
But,
and let's not forget my friend Lewis Black.
Let's not forget Lewis Black.
I just love that guy. You just, you know, I can just sense, I can feel his he's about ready to explode, you know, when he's trying to explain something. I think, yeah, that's just it. He doesn't have to say nothing, just look on his face. He's about ready to, you know, go off. And it's, yeah.
Well, that's the thing. You know, it's why I like to do what I do as far as talking about dumbasses and people you would call haters. Because I always feel like we need to differentiate the people that are crazy as hell.
Right.
And when I say crazy as hell, when you do stuff that's out of the norm, and I think what happens in the society, as I keep saying, when you do normal stuff, people think you're extraordinary because there are a lot of people who are crazy off their rocker. And, you know, that's the issue. People don't look at the crazy as, yeah, they're crazy as hell. You know, crazy is kind of accepted. As you say, the criminal element, the criminals, the so-called bad guys are the good guys when we're watching them on TV and in the movies, whatnot. So people are ambivalent toward that kind of behavior. You know, you say, oh, he's a bad boy. Everybody's cool with it.
Right. Because bad means good.
Yeah. Bad means good. So does good mean bad?
I don't know.
Well, I mean, that's what we're talking about. Now, did you see, speaking of dumbass, did you see the toddler, the video of the two-year-old that was smoking?
I heard about it, but I didn't see it.
Yeah, well, it's one of the worst things that I've ever seen in my life.
Someone's going to go out and really and actually have their kids smoke.
Yeah, well, I mean, you had to have taught the kid to smoke.
Well,
yeah. Which is appalling. And, you know, now that after the video, which they, of course, were proud to make, I mean, I don't understand. And this is what I talk about when I say crazy as hell. When you first, you're smoking around your kid, which in some areas of the world, I guess it's no big deal. But then you teach your child to smoke. And, you know, people are appalled. Oh, my God, the kid's smoking. But I'm appalled at the damn parents. Like, you taught your kid how to smoke. And the first thing that I said is, where's CPS? Maybe they don't have CPS in Indonesia, but they need it. One, that's just, you know, if you want to go back to the biblical days of stoning, that somebody should throw some rocks at that mother. So what the hell's wrong with you?
Well, that child's not going to live a long time, I don't think. No,
that, I, unfortunately, I put the over-under at 10.
What's that?
I got the over-under at 10.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, because they said that the child is smoking 40 cigarettes a day.
That's horrible if it's an adult.
Right. Now, you imagine a still-developing child. He's going to have coal black lungs
right.
at, like, 4.
Yep.
And, you know, and they have these articles where, you know, they're talking about the statistics and how the smoking in these countries and how they're trying to get help for the child. And I'm like, no, it's not help for the child. The child is only doing what the child's been taught. It's help for the damn adults. You got some retarded ass adults out here. And that's the issue.
So you're absolutely right.
You know, you can't tell me that there's not something wrong with her.
Oh yeah, there's
and him.
You know, it's the same thing with eating habits too. I mean, we have all these obese kids out there, really fat kids, and it's because they're being taught what to eat. They're not being taught what not to eat. You know, and so they grow up and they get fatter and fatter and fatter and fatter. And whose fault is that?
And you have the overabundance of kids, diabetes, and other health-related issues. And it's because of bad eating habits. And as you know, kids don't even play outside no more.
Well, I mean, I can relate kind of because parents are afraid, you know. But, you know, I remember growing up in Oceanside. You know, and I'd leave the house at 10 o'clock in the morning, and I'd walk all over town. And my uncle's old grocery store is all over town, so I could go hang out at their grocery stores or just take myself wherever I wanted. I'd come home, it's dark. Parents never knew where I was. They weren't concerned. They weren't worried. It was nothing to be concerned about, you know?
Right.
Still, you know, we used to stay out till all hours, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, walking around Chula Vista in the 70s. No fear, no problem. No, nothing ever happened to anybody we knew, you know? So in
right.
the world, I wouldn't want my children to be out. I'd be worried about it, you know. So that's what happens, sadly. But going back to your earlier conversation about building more parks and things like that, so kids have a place to go, a safe place where they can go and hang out. You know?
Right.
And some type of supervision, not so much to make sure that they behave, what have you, but that they're safe, so parents can do
right.
that. And these days,
all right, and
families work. I mean, both parents working. You know, they don't. Anyway, yeah.
All right. Well, that's our cue that it's about time to go. I want to thank you, Mr. Whippet, for coming on the show and giving us some of your knowledge tonight.
Hey, who wouldn't whip it for a dick hugger?
Oh my God, thank you for coming on the show, and I hope to hear from you again soon, kind sir. And on that note, I want to say thank you everyone for listening. Sorry for the technical difficulties on the Smooth Drama TV. But we'll be back next time. And on that note, I want to say goodnight to everyone. And I'm Dick Hugger, and I'm out.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth.
Drama.